Hey True North, it's Wednesday, January 27th. My name is Eugene, and welcome to another episode of True North Daily. So if you didn't know, this past Monday we started a new kind of aspect of our podcast entitled Sermon Postscript, where we kind of discuss and review the sermon of past Sunday. And as we were discussing Colossians 2 of the word that Jay just preached, there's an idea that I wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper into, where I mentioned that a lot of our discipleship is actually not bound in what we know, but actually in our habits. You see, for a lot of us, we often think that discipleship or to live a Christian life is dictated by knowledge. It's what you know about God that determines your relationship with God. And I was discussing this with a couple of my pastor friends, and it was so funny that for a lot of us, especially Asian American Christians, which is a majority of our church, that if you're asked, well, how do you get close to God? It's often, well, I have to study the word. I have to be deep in prayer. And it's these things that we kind of garner more information. And the idea of God is what allows us to be closer to him. And I'm not saying that that's not important here, especially as one of your pastors here. That's what we try and do, that as you learn the deep riches of knowledge of who God is and his grace and love, that you do fall deeper and deeper into love and also holiness. But Christian life, discipleship, and what Jesus promised us and invites us into is not less than knowledge, but it's so much more than knowledge. You see, knowledge is important, but more powerful than what we know is what we love. You see, Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John are very interesting when he enters into the scene. As John and a couple of his friends finally stumble onto Jesus in the first chapter, they say, wow, this is the Lamb of God, or someone who claims to be the Lamb of God. And Jesus responds with this. And what would you think he responds with? Well, what do you know about that statement, John? Or how have you proven yourself to me as a Jew? Jesus doesn't do that. The first words that Jesus says in the Gospel of John, which are very telling, are, what are you seeking? What are you desiring? What are the loves of your heart? You see, what Jesus, I think, in kind of in a deeper sense is telling us is that for many of us, it is not what we think that determines our lives, but it is what we love in our hearts, is what we seek in our life. You see, we're all on this journey. We're all trying to seek, you know, no matter who you are, we're all trying to seek an end that is often dictated by the loves deep inside of our hearts. And for many of us, especially as Westerners, what we think is that ideas affect our loves. You know, especially if you grew up in the church, that's why there's this culture of Christian, you know, tribalism or the bubble or holiness, that let's protect our children from the evil ideas found in cartoons or rock and roll music. But when you even audit your own life, your heart, your loves, your goals, they're not really formed by ideas. They're formed by pictures, by stories, by narratives. That so often for many of us may be that you're seeking a salary raise not because you watched Wolf of Wall Street and you saw that idea as, oh, the idea of money is appealing, but maybe you watched so many movies that portray the idea of wealth as an attractive picture, that there's something deeper, that this story, whatever culture or narrative or society gives you, that as it paints a beautiful picture, that is what determines where your heart is pointed to. In other passages, this is true. In Proverbs 4:23, the author writes, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." And here at True North, we even kind of hold that in our name, that the reason why we're called True North is that for all of us, we believe that as every human being, we have a compass in our hearts, and that it sets our direction in whatever degree of delineation into some sort of path, into some sort of love, into some sort of narrative. And this is the thing, if we take that example, and what we say is, well, the true north or the binding principle of how to guide us should be found in Christ. What many of us take further in that example to be is, well, to really draw that out, we need to know and learn who God is. But that is not enough. You see, in that example, that's what you might be saying is, well, I need to learn every contour of the map that I'm using, of every degree of delineation, of every slope, of every tree, of every body of water, and that will help me figure out how to get closer to God. And that's very important, especially if you're traveling, to know exactly what every aspect of the map you have tells you. But that doesn't help you get to your destination. You see, so often what happens is you might know as much as you can about the map of life, but the direction you start heading to is often decided by the most beautiful or appealing place on that map. And that is where you head to. That is a drawing factor of your life. And given all of that, what that truly means for us is that discipleship is not a bunch of do's or don'ts. It's not a bunch of things filling into your heads of knowledge, of just that, of figuring out who God is, of theology, of Bible studies, but discipleship, true turning to Christ, is a tuning of our hearts to be drawn to what God loves, to be drawn to what God and Christ desires. It is to understand what the love of God is and then take that and allow that to be the beautiful picture and narrative and story that our heart chases after for in this life. Well, how do you do that? Well, one thing that I'm taking from, and this is not from myself, that an author called James K. Smith, or Jamie Smith, wrote a wonderful book called You Are What You Love, which I actually am thinking about leading a book study at our church with. And what he ultimately promotes is the idea that everything that I just mentioned before is ultimately from him. You know, I guess some context. But what he also says is this, that love is actually, when you look at it, a habit. That love is the small unconscious habits, decisions that we all carry every day in our lives. That what we reach for when we wake up shows us what we love. That how we act on the road without thinking shows us what we love. That our habits, when we're wronged, when we're hurt, when we're in an argument, shows us what we love. You see, what Paul says in Colossians 3, which Jay will actually preach on this Sunday, kind of cements this idea. That in chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes to the Colossians, put on then, this idea of put on some clothes, Colossians, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And key verse 14, and above all that, above all these virtues and holy things you could do, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There's a lot kind of packed into that. But one kind of aspect I want to key in on is the idea that what Paul is saying is that love is something that you put on. It's not something that you learn in your mind. It's not something that you try and check off on a checklist. But it's this idea of clothes being put on your body. And when you think about clothes, you know, the minute you put it on, you might look yourself in the mirror and, you know, think about it and, oh, I look good. But as the day goes on, you kind of forget about it. It's just something that kind of it surrounds your body without really thinking what it is, but conveys so much about who you are. And I think what Paul is imploring with this passage is that our habits uncover and kind of reveal what our true loves are, about where our actual piece of humanity is in all of us, but also in this cyclical manner that habits also influence what you love. You're in this cycle. And I think what this means for us, well, the first step practically is this. Can we audit our habits? You know, so often the problem with habits is that they're decisions that we make without thinking. And so often what we think is if we learn more about whatever aspect, I'm not even talking about God, that's what will change us as Westerners. So we're drawn to TED Talks. We're drawn to podcasts. We're drawn to YouTube videos about whatever topic. And the truth is, so much of knowledge does help and it's needed to kind of make any change, but that is not the final factor. You know, one hobby and addiction and a horrible sport that I picked up recently, not recently, but for a couple of years, ever since I moved up to True North, is golf. Pastor Jay is an avid golfer. We have a pretty big golf crew at True North too. And if you've played golf ever, it's one of the most frustrating sports because it's so hard to change your habits. And if you're like me and you suck at golf, what you start doing is you start trying to learn as much as you can, like a good Christian boy, about your golf swing. And you watch all these videos and tutorials and you think, oh, I finally uncovered something about my swing. And you try and access all this knowledge and you read and you watch. But you can read and watch all you want about a golf swing, but until you incorporate and make those knowledges into habits, until you make what you know in your mind muscle memory, all of that knowledge means absolutely nothing. And I think the same to be with God and with Christ. That it's not what we know ultimately that will change us. That's a start, and that needs to be the knowledge of who God is. But it's our habits that also ultimately control our hearts. And can we therefore audit our habits? You know, so often our habits are kind of unconsciously there because we never really think about them. And how do we do that? Well, small things with like, well, what's the first thing you do reach for in the morning? Is it your phone? Or is it a coffee or whatever it may be? And I'm not saying to necessarily make dramatic changes, but auditing your habits actually reveal a lot of who you are. And it doesn't necessarily mean, well, the first thing you need to reach for when you wake up is your Bible. But can you be conscious to, well, if I am someone that wants to follow Christ, what is the first habit that I can make that sets me on the course of the beginning of my day to God? Maybe it is scripture. Maybe it's just time for yourself. Maybe it is spending time with your family rather than being on your phone. So can we take some time to audit our habits? And then second, and therefore more importantly, can we realize the important and life-altering habits of the church, especially during this pandemic? You know, worship, I think, is one of God's greatest gifts to us as the church, because it's a habit that God has given us that if we make a true habit into our hearts and souls, that will shape, change, and form our hearts into the hearts of God. You see, what church ultimately is what we're trying to do is build a community of habits, of Sunday worship, of community group, of even singing together. And I want to be careful here. I'm not promoting some sort of legalistic thinking that as long as you do these things, that there's some sort of saving power in the habits itself. No, that's not what I'm saying. And so often for many of us, we think that. We think, oh, the power is coming out physically to a church service on a Sunday by serving in some sort of ministry. But what Paul is promoting and kind of telling us is so much deeper than that, that these habits that our church has, that our worship, what worship is the power of reminding our souls constantly of the truth that we need to be planted deep into our hearts, that we have been saved out of the heinousness of our sin through the grace of God on Christ's body on the cross. See, what I mean by that is this. So many times when we log in and we sing, we're not really singing. We're just kind of observing. But what Paul actually promotes in other epistles is to sing to one another, because in that habit, what you're doing is you're singing the gospel to the church. You know, so often we come to worship thinking, oh, it's all about what I can get for myself. But what worship, what singing is a habit to remind each other in unison, in a body, of the peace and love of God. In community groups, what's going on is you're building a habit to remind each other in accountability, in communion, in community. Not that those things are ultimate, but to remind yourself in that group of a habit that you need God in every decision that you make of your life every day. You see, the church is ultimately a place to form habits that will draw your heart closer to God. And again, as a stark reminder, there isn't power in habits themselves, but there is a power in making those habits a reminder of our covenant with God. And I'll put it like this to end, which I'm stealing from James K. Smith really well. What he says is, well, the church is ultimately a hospital. And more than a hospital, it's actually a therapy center. You know, what he says is this, and which is biblically true, that for every Christian, we've just kind of came out of open heart surgery. That out of our sinful, dead heart, that Christ gave us his own, and in open heart surgery, forced his heart into our own by giving up his own life. And the thing is this, once you have surgery, you can't just get up and go about your day the next day as if everything is the same before. No, you need a lot of therapy. You need to make sure your heart and your wounds and your cuts don't get infected. You need to make sure that you build new habits amid whatever surgery that you just went through. And the church is ultimately a place to do those things, to be reminded that, look, we have this beautiful gift of a new heart, and that we need to build new habits to disciple ourselves to become better, not better, excuse me, to become more faithful servants and followers of Christ. So with all that, you know, I hope to kind of look into more of these topics as the week goes on, and even start a book study on that book, which I find to be really helpful. But just for today, maybe one thing you can do after listening to this pod is just to audit your habits and to be reminded that our church, our community, is not a place to consume and gain, but to build a community of habits together centered in Christ. Again, thanks for listening, and if you have any interest in kind of reading that book together, you can feel free to DM me. If we have enough people, we can kind of make it a bigger group, so feel free to do that. But with that, I hope you have a great day and a great week.